I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a commentary on what Barack Obama's historic achievement means to the mother of a biracial child, and a Tell Me More tasting. We're going to try out some summer beers. But first, we want to talk more about Senator Barack Obama. Now that he's the Democrats' presumptive nominee for president, we've heard what the pundits have to say, we've heard what some scholars have to say, and with a recent wave of superdelegates pledging their allegiance, the politicians are weighing in. But what about the voters? We wanted to hear from a diverse group, several of whom have visited with us before and Tell Me More to talk about other things. We wanted to ask them about this, so joining us are Graylin Banks. He's a Hurricane Katrina survivor living in New Orleans. Connie Guy of the Lancaster County Democratic Women's Association in Pennsylvania. She's been a diehard Hillary supporter. We want to know how she's feeling now. Devin Cooper, a student at Towson University, and Laura Tortorelli. She's an educator in Washington, D.C. Welcome to you all. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Laura, I want to start with you because I understand that you're one of these newly energized voters that I keep hearing about. It's my understanding that you really weren't that interested in politics until this year, but that something about Barack Obama has gotten you interested. What is it about him, and what does this moment mean to you?
Well, that's true. I wasn't somebody who was involved in politics, and I think for me and for a lot of people in my generation, you know, I came of age during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and then my first election that I participated in was the 2000 election. And then there were these, you know, the wars and September 11th. And this is really the first chance that I've seen to take a stand and get involved and change the trajectory. I felt a lot of powerlessness in the political process up until now, and he gave me a way to steer clear of that.
Really? How?
Well, basically by encouraging the kind of grassroots support that he did, the kind of fundraising that he did, the number of individual volunteers that he wanted to get involved, and also his new approach to the bitter political divisions that I've seen play out over the last 10 years of my entire adult life, really. He has a third way. He's proposing really working with people to accomplish things. And, you know, he's done that in his record. And I really found that inspiring.
Okay. Devin Cooper, you are an historic figure in your own right. You and a teammate became the first African-American duo to win a national debate competition. I wanted to ask, does Barack Obama's being the Democratic nominee have any special meaning to you?
I think it really does, because this year in itself has been a year of historic moments. And for Barack Obama to become the candidate for the Democratic Party is, I mean, it's a first, but it means that he's opened the doors and laid the groundwork for other black people to come behind him, like Davon and I have done in debate. And
yeah, you know, you're a pretty good speaker, too, as we have discovered. Did you watch the speech Tuesday night, and did it stir anything up for you?
It did. I was just excited because I was just like, this is surprising in America, given the racial tensions that we still have that a lot of people try to hide, that they would actually let, you know, Barack Obama become the actual candidate. And it's just weird to me. But I think I'll get over it after a little while. But, you know, it's still that same type of excitement that I had that after I wanted me and my partner won the championship. It's like, this actually happened.
You didn't believe this because you were the youngest of the group here, and I think I'd be interested to know if you thought that you would see this day in your lifetime. Because you're what? How old are you? What?
I'm 22.
22. Yes, yeah.
I thought I would. I didn't know who it would be, but when I first saw Barack Obama, he was running, you know, in a position in Illinois, it was like, who is this black man? I don't, you know, he was new on the scene, and I was like, okay, he possibly can do something. And then when people started saying, you know, he could possibly run for president, I was like, oh, yeah, okay. but it's really happening, and he's allowing for history to be made for people like myself or other debaters that may want to become president one day. Not saying that I want to, but it's a possibility.
Hey, we'll keep the door open for you. Connie Guy.
Hi.
We've talked a lot over the course of the campaign. This has been kind of a tough year for you. And when we last spoke, you mentioned that you felt it was both there, Senator Clinton and Senator Obama's time, but it wasn't his turn.
Right.
Now that the nomination has gone his way. What are you feeling?
Well, and you know, as I said before, I've always been a Hillary Clinton supporter first. Originally, though, prior to ever being a Clinton supporter, I was an Edwards Obama. That's the ticket I thought was going to be the winning ticket. And I have to say, I'm excited. Obama has really, really given a great run here. I mean, he held in for the long stretch, and he has a charm and a charisma that has managed to bring young and old alike along, and he has certainly proven himself. And being the very good Democratic woman that I am and have been since birth, I will certainly support Barack Obama, and I'm certainly hoping now that he will make a very wise choice, and that would be to ask Senator Clinton to be his vice presidential running mate. I figured all along that it was either going to be a Clinton-Obama ticket or an Obama-Clinton ticket. And it's certainly shaping up to look like it's going to be the Obama-Clinton ticket.
Okay, well, we want to talk more about that in a minute, but Graylin, I want to bring you in. Tell me for you, you're in your 40s, if you don't mind my giving out.
I don't mind one bit.
That information out. So did you ever think you'd see this day in your lifetime?
No, I never really thought it would happen. This is historic. And I just never, quite honestly, I was talking with some guys last night, some men of respect over at Sweet Lorraine's, and they said the same thing. They got years on me, and they said, you know, nobody, it was a pipe dream was the words that we used. You know, it was, yeah, you can grow up and be anything in America. Just do your best. And it seems at this point, because of what has happened, because of the nomination, there's now some teeth in that particular reality. I mean, it's real. We can actually, I sat with my grandbaby, I sat with Jalen on my lap and watched the speech, and I told her, you know, it's the first black man to be officially running for the president of the United States. Not president yet. She said, that day, I know who Barack is. So, well, she's four. But, you know, he's had that effect across the board. She recognizes him, and, you know, I recognize the huge historical significance of this, and it's not lost, but I never thought I'd see it, no.
Does that bring anything uncomfortable up for you? Because over the course of the year, you know, I've talked to a number of voters who, and I have to say, particularly African-Americans of a certain age, who, along with the excitement, have expressed a lot of fear. You know, fear that he will be a target, fear that something, you know, terrible will happen to him, fear that they, whoever they are, will steal the election. And I just have to ask, do you have any of those fears?
My fear is not so much as they stealing the election, because they steal the election from each other. Ain't that special? You know, so it wouldn't be the first time that has happened. But is the philosophy or part of this country's mindset has changed to the point where I do not think that he would be more of a target as a black president than he would as a white one? I think absolutely that's not a certainty, but it is certainly, I think, a higher probability than it would be in any other case. Because when you look at the way that things are happening in the world now, folks are killing folks for absolutely no reason at all. And you got somebody who gets an opportunity to become the first guy to kill the first black president. I don't dwell on it, but since you asked, I don't think that philosophy has changed that much, even with Barack's ascension to where he is. I just, in my heart, do not think that that whole part that would make some sick individual think that way has gone.
But it's worth the risk to you. Because I've heard people say that they didn't want to vote for him because they didn't want to expose him to danger. I mean, I have, in fact, heard people say that. You don't feel that way.
I didn't do it. He did it. And I'll support him. I mean, it takes a lot. And I don't think this is anything that probably has not been talked about in barbershops, beauty shops, and ballrooms from one side of the country to the other, because that's our reality. I mean, that's, and it's not, Barack can't be the black president. He's got to be the president of the United States, but he's a black man. And is that just, for some people who are still in existence in this country, a target, I mean, a prize that is just almost too good to resist? I don't think them folks have disappeared, and I really would like to think that the Secret Service would just make sure that
they're doing
everybody,
everything they should do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I just, see. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with a group of voters, a diverse group of voters, about what the Barack Obama clinching the Democratic nomination means to them. Connie, you raised the question of Senator Clinton as a vice president. A couple questions I had for you is, first of all, there's been all this talk about whether some white voters, if Senator Clinton was not the choice, turning to John McCain. Do you think that that's real talk or kind of the heat of the moment? And particularly, I have to say, white women, older white women who've been a core constituency of Senator Clinton.
You know, Michelle, it is sad to say that there are some people out there who are just plain ignorant, and they will do that. They will turn their backs to their own party, and their thinking is, well, I could never vote for a black man. There are people I've heard out there say, well, I'll never vote for a woman. If I could, I would wave that proverbial magic wand, and I would stop all this hatred and all this racism. It's ridiculous. This is 2008. It's time for a black man. It's time for a woman. It saddens me that there are people who will turn their back on their party. I had a phone call yesterday from a voter right here in my own little town who said to me, I can't do it. I can't vote for him. I won't vote for him. My parents won't vote for him.
Because?
And I said,
because?
Because he's black.
What'd you say?
That's horrible.
What did you say?
I said, don't do that. We need a Democrat in the White House. And I don't look at Barack Obama as a black man. I look at him as a qualified man. I look at Hillary Clinton as a qualified woman. He's a man. She's a woman. It's time. Let's get on the ball and get these people elected. Send them to Washington so that they can take care of this country the way this country needs to be taken care of.
Laura, what do you make of all this talk of, like, Connie and I have been talking about the people saying that they won't vote for him because he's African-American and la, la, la. Does that,
yeah,
how does that feel to you?
Well, it feels to me like a blink reaction. It feels like people who haven't gotten a chance to really get to know the candidates and think about it, because I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee, and I know lots and lots of people who are Bush supporters and are good people. And the reason they support Bush isn't because of anything, any specific type of issue that he supports or anything else, other than they got the idea from that he was a good person. And I feel like that's the most important thing. And I feel like that's the feeling that the people in my family, my entire family, supports Obama all the way up to my 80-year-old grandfather. My mom has made thousands of phone calls for him, you know, and that's what's brought us together around him. We've never been a family that was all on the same page politically before, and I think the kind of goodness that he embodies can hopefully make some inroads with people who, when they first see him, you know, don't recognize him as a leader or as a petition.
Is his race
president
relevant to you? And I just want to mention that you are not African-American. You're white. So,
that's,
I mean,
true.
Is his race important at all to you?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've been thinking about this, and it wasn't at the beginning. I thought I made my choice to support him based on everything else that I've already mentioned. But living in Washington, D.C., as I do, I found that there were lots of things that I had never thought about race and about the relationships between the races that I got to see more of and feel more connected to my neighbors here because I was wearing the Barack Obama button, because people would come up to me and start conversations with me about him and about what he meant to them. And, you know, talking about the assassination fears, that never, ever would have occurred to me. You know, and I'm sure that makes me naive, but it just wouldn't have, being, you know, living my life in the place that I do. And when I was campaigning in Baltimore, you know, those fears came up and I realized how different our lives are, even when we live right next to each other. And so it has been a really eye-opening and wonderful experience for me since I've joined, since I've wanted to become part of the campaign and become a supporter.
Devin, what about you? What is it about Barack Obama that's meaningful to you? In fact, I really haven't asked you if you were supporting him or not. I mean, I don't want to assume that you were or are. But what is it about him? Is his race important to you? Is it his age that's important to you?
I mean, race is definitely something that is important to me because as black people in America, we do not have the privilege to say, oh, well, I can just see him as a person and not as a black man, because that's something that us in America have not been willing to say, that be seen as people instead of black people. Like, we're basically the only racial group that is solely identified by our race. in America. So for his race to be a part of my analysis of why I vote for him, yes, it's a part of it, because I think that, you know, that's something we can't separate. But also that he's very charismatic, and I think that he has a possibility of potentially leading black people to a sort of liberation, but not, you know, just complete utopia. But I'm just saying there's a possibility he can start that process that brings more leaders in the future to follow a model that he may implement while he's in office.
Why so? Briefly, well, if you could.
Oh, well, basically the way he talks to college students, like, we are the future leaders that will be exported to society after, you know, his campaign, as well as even after his assumed presidency. And he's able to code switch and speak to us in a level that talks about, like, the problems with criminal justice system, with poverty, with a lot of disenfranchisement in the black community. And that gives me some hope that he will have the potential to bring us out of that in a, like, to just have a way to give younger black people a sight of believing that change is possible.
Okay. Graylin, I want to give you the last word.
Sure.
First, I want to ask, how are you doing? When we last spoke, you were still living in a FEMA trailer, concerned about your health, the health of your family. How are things? And do you feel that it's such an exciting moment, but do you feel like real change is possible?
Well, in answer to your question, and thank you very much for asking, I'm in the house. We got room. I can walk. So
it's awesome.
It is wonderful. Life is good. I got my health. My family's doing fine. Everybody's hanging in there. And again, thank you for asking, because everything is good.
Okay. Very briefly, you think now, change is possible? Very briefly.
No. I mean, yes, overall in the long run, but is it going to affect me immediately? And in my day-to-day life, I don't think it's going to happen. I'd like to think it will, but I don't have a really good taste for the effectiveness of the government over the last few years,
all
especially
right.
in my hometown. So I hope it does, because I hope too. You know, I hope too, Senator Obama. I do hope, okay. And I hope things change for the better.
All right. To be continued. Graylin Banks is a Hurricane Katrina survivor. He joined us from New Orleans. Connie Guy is with the Lancaster County Democratic Women's Association in Pennsylvania. She joined us from her home in Mountville, Pennsylvania. Devin Cooper is a student at Towson University. He joined us from member station WEAA in Baltimore. And Laura Tortorelli works for Reading Enrichment Program. She helps to run it. She joined us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Thank you all so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Be well.